Hello and welcome to the People of FFS, the mini-series of the For Fit's Sake podcast. Myself and Rudds are joined by none other than Vicky McGrath. Vicky, what's happening?
Hello, bonjour. Thanks for having me.
Bit of French, very good. Is that because we're heading on the ski trip tomorrow and you can't come and you just want to throw some French out there?
I'm not going to talk about that at all.
Okay. We'll move on quickly then. Vicky, thanks for coming in. Obviously, the premise of this series of the podcast is we're trying to meet people that are ultimately the fabric of FFS. They embody what we try to do with the gym, got unique stories, have experience that we want to share with our members that might kind of inspire people, excite people, get people to understand a little bit more about what happens at FFS. So listen, thanks for coming in. The first question we have, which we're asking everybody, is when did you start training and why?
Okay, so I've actually been a member of FFS for 5 years now.
5 years?
Pretty sure I should get a present or some sort of award or maybe a plaque in the gym.
You did just get an award.
You did. I should have started with the current reigning trainer of the month. She just knocked the lights off. But the current trainer of the month. I should have started with that. How rude of me. So you did just get an award.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks a million. Appreciated. We can talk about that later. Yeah. I don't want to give away the big premise of the topic so far.
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
Keep it under wraps.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, I'm here 5 years. I joined back in January. 2015. I was trying to do the calculation.
Maths.
So I joined back in 2015 and the reason I joined was back in 2008 I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. So for anyone that doesn't know what Crohn's disease is, it's like an autoimmune disease, and during flare-ups you get really bad stomach pains. And in August 2014, I actually had 38 centimetres of my small bowel removed because over the years of all the steroids and flare-ups, the inside of my stomach, there was basically fissures there. So the food wouldn't pass through. I was in constant pain. Anything I ate, I either vomited or just couldn't eat. I went down to like 7.5 stone and I just didn't really look after myself at all. Like, I was diagnosed with Crohn's but continued to kind of go out 3 nights a week and live my best life. And I think that operation was like a massive wake-up call for me. So yeah, 38 centimetres, and I got out of the hospital and I was like, right, Vic, let's get your shit together. So I waited until I healed and then I did some research and I just stumbled across FFS, and then I rang and spoke to either Mike or Rudds and came in and did my induction day. Thought I was super fit already, thought I could move, thought I could, like, I was fit. I was crap. I couldn't squat. I couldn't hold a bar over my head. Rudds, I think you were very polite and very patient with me. I started then training in January, just did Metcons at the very start, because I wanted to get shredded. I think I sent a picture of a Victoria's Secret model to Rudds and WhatsApp.
I remember that.
Saying,
yeah.
I want to look like this. But for the first 2 years, I'm not going to lie, I didn't love it.
Okay.
Like, I didn't enjoy classes. I complained the whole time during them. Like, I'd come in and I came for the crack, but like the Metcons, yeah, I did. And I got the buzz after it, but like I didn't. There was no progress really for me, like, and I was kind of dipping in, dipping out. Like, a great week for me was if I did 3 classes. And I remember my, like, diary maybe in 2016, my goal was go to FFS 3 times a week. And now, sure, like, you can't get me out of the place. But, that's why I started training.
A question on that is, because what you've said is really interesting. Obviously, you come off the back of, like, pretty serious health issues. What was the psychology of that like for you, where, like, you know, you want to get healthy. You said you had that talk with yourself coming out of it. But like 5 years ago, you know, whatever age you were, I won't reveal the ages on the podcast. But, you know, you're at an age where obviously you want to be healthy. You're quite young for this to be happening to you. You've got goals that are kind of like you're talking about Victoria's Secret model thing is popping in. What was it like for you balancing sort of, you know, those goals, which a lot of people have, like kind of, you know, sort of body image aware versus actually health based? Was that a difficult sort of thing to balance, or how did you find that?
I think for me, the biggest thing was the wake-up call of having the operation was I just wanted to get strong. Like, it was getting to the point where if I was going into a shop at a heavy door, I couldn't push the door open. And I think for me, that was the big picture. And then obviously the vanity piece was that I just wanted to look a bit better. Like, I was always slim, but I was kind of like skinny fat. Like, I would have held a lot of body fat on me. I suppose the biggest thing was I wanted to be stronger. The secondly was to look better. But I think back then I was very naive and I thought by just going to the gym, dipping in and dipping out two or three times a week, I would get them results. And like, I didn't really, I probably didn't look after my diet as well. I was getting better, obviously, but I just presumed once you joined a gym, give it 6 months and you'd be the best shape of your life.
Yeah, you kind of think that it's going to be done for you.
Yeah.
Or that what you do 2 or 3 hours a week is going to offset the other things in your life.
Yeah.
And do it. And that I think that is quite a common thing that people have to understand, is you're not what you do a couple of hours a week is not going to, it might have an impact and it'll certainly make an improvement, but it's not gonna offset other things. If other things, like if you're not sleeping well, if you're not eating as well as you could, or you know, whatever it might be, you can have forces outside of your gym work that don't allow you to get the most out of your gym work.
Was that one of the big learnings for you then, Vicky? Because we're trying to keep the questions as similar as possible to give a nice flow to this mini-series. But like, was that one of the, what else had you learned apart from that, that you can't just show up, you know, it's not just going to happen itself? Were there any other big learnings that you had, either about your training or maybe things that you learned about yourself since you started training?
110%. Like, the FFS has been a total, like, game changer for me. Like, at the start, it was just, I wanted to... the quick result, I just thought by showing up that you get that. And then I think about 3 years ago I started strength and conditioning training, and that's when the kind of penny dropped for me. Like, I started seeing my body shape changing, I was getting stronger. You have your monthly testing. I also think I preferred strength and conditioning because you actually got a chance to talk to other people.
You preferred it. Every other member of the gym has disliked the addition of you to the strength and conditioning.
And then I suppose, like, so penny dropping with strength and conditioning, getting into strength and conditioning, and then just pushing yourself as well out of your comfort zone, like started to play like tag with the guys in the gym. And I know people say it all the time about this place, but for me, it's all about the community. And over the last 3 years, I've made some of my best friends in here. And it's just about surrounding yourself with people that want to see you be the best version of yourself and buying into that. And yeah, just looking after yourself. So first of all, the training, second of all, the people in the community. And then I suppose last year was, I'd say it was kind of January last year, I was training 7 or 8 times a week. I was doing yoga, I was out swimming, I was playing tag, but I was still just a little bit off. So I started doing PN with Dara Henry. And that was another complete eye opener for me, like, because I scoffed my food. I thought I was a really healthy eater, but I just ate so much food. And yeah, I'd say last July, I was probably in the best shape of my life, physically and mentally, and all down to this place.
In terms of, to quickly touch upon the strength, because it's something we've talked about in other podcasts with other females, for yourself, when you started, what were kind of some of the barriers that you felt to get, for you to get involved with strength training?
I didn't have a clue, like, what the exercises were. Like, people were talking about bench press or deadlifting, and I was like, huh? So I just showed up, and like, it can be a bit intimidating. Like, I remember when I started doing S&C, there was definitely a lot more men in the class, and they're like lifting these incredible weights, and you're totally kind of like overwhelmed. But then, like, give it a month and you're up there with them and they're egging you on. And, like, I love being in a class now with loads of men. That's really bad. But, like, the energy is really good. And for me, the strength was, it's the monthly testing and knowing that you can, like, just get yourself that little bit better. And I think my biggest goal was always just trying to get a bodyweight chin. I think it took me, like, 2 years to get there. And I still remember the day I got it, and Laura Carroll was filming me in 47. So, yeah, I love it.
And just in previous episodes, and even when I've gone out and spoken to people around strength training and the benefits of getting involved in strength training, and even just talking to them about why we do periodized plans and why we do regular testing in those periodized plans for our members, and your example is one of the examples I give. I don't actually name you by name, but I say we've had numerous female members and they start and they can't do any chin-ups, and then a couple of years later, it takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of training, but they can go from no chin-ups to, you were doing double digits.
13.
13 chin-ups.
Someone for you, Jenny Burke. Yeah. One day.
I remember the day you got 10. I just was going to jump in there when you were saying first chin. I remember you getting your first chin. I remember you getting 10 chins. Mm. You know, not that far apart. And like that was really cool. That's for us as coaches. That's a really cool thing. And that's why this podcast is cool, because it actually gives myself and Rhodes a chance to speak to people and reflect about kind of cool experiences that we've had as coaches over the years. But like with that, obviously, through sort of the Crohn's, that was the start to maybe get into training. You know, that situation changed for you massively, because I can't remember the exact date, but sometime last year or the year before, sort of Crohn's was no longer an issue for you. Yeah. And it was through
training.
Well, and obviously your approach to
life.
your lifestyle, not I don't want to use the term diet, but your approach to what you're putting into your body, how you're treating your body. That must have been a really big achievement for you.
It was massive. It was actually last July. I went in for a routine colonoscopy. Routine. It was 6 years since my last one, and my doctor was like, "You're due one." So I went in, and you're always kind of a bit apprehensive. And then on July, they were like, "No, there is literally no active Crohn's in your body. There's no inflammation." And I also got a what are they called? DEXA scan done as well, because of the years of steroid use, your bone mass can go down. So I think my last DEXA scan was maybe like 6 years previous, and the doctor was like blown away by my bone mass density has increased so much. He was like, "What are you doing?" Like, we don't see it, especially in people who are over 30, for their bone mass to grow that much. And it's down to lifting weights and
strength training.
Yeah. So it's completely helped me.
In terms of that, you haven't mentioned it. You might be coming on to mention it in the podcast, but for yourself, like being in the best shape of your life mentally and physically in July, but then obviously things have changed a little bit, and you know, you had another challenge for yourself,
another C, not coronavirus.
No.
Topical though.
If it's okay with you to kind of, if you feel comfortable, maybe sharing some of that with us in terms of like from that point and then obviously being confronted with a new challenge.
Yeah, so I got my results of the Crohn's being gone and in July. And then in August, I went on holidays with Courtney McInerney. And we had an amazing week in Hvar in Croatia. And on the way home in the airport, we were delayed and we were both sick of each other's company. So we were on opposite sides of the airport. And I had
She'll
a bit
do
of
that to you.
I had like a tiny bite in the middle of my chest, and when I was scratching it, like just a mosquito bite or something, I felt like a bit of a lump there on my right breast. So I was like, "Oh, that doesn't feel normal." So I don't even think I told Courtney that night. We're both not great flyers, and there was a massive storm that night, and we got on the plane. Sorry, I have to tell this story. And the two of us were like, "Oh, here, like this is going to be horrendous." And we got on, and there was a lot of people coming back from Medjugorje. So there was life-size statues of Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene wrapped up and on their laps. And you're like, okay, if we're going down, we're fine. Like, I went to the doctor, was referred as a high risk only because there's history in my family of breast cancer. But because of my age, my health, she was like, "Don't worry about it. It's probably just going to be hormonal or a cyst." So I went into James's hospital then in mid-September and got a triple assessment done, where they take like an autopsy of the lump, an ultrasound and a mammogram. And then I came back a week later with Alison, and me and Ali were going to go for a pint and a swim after to celebrate that it was just a cyst, and I'd probably have to go in and get like a little operation done. And we were kind of waiting around for a while. I was like getting a bit apprehensive. And then we were brought into the room at my doctor, and there was a nurse in the room. That's never a good sign when there's two people in the room for the bad news. I can't actually remember how they told me, but it was like in the films, like everything just kind of collapsed around you. And they were like, they found cancer in the tumor, or they were like, "You have breast cancer." I started roaring crying, and this is a true story. Ali can confirm. The first thing I said to my doctor was, "But I'm going to Japan in 2 weeks for the Rugby World Cup." And he kind of looked at me with like 10 heads, and "You probably will get to go." And then, the next kind of couple of weeks just went by in an absolute flurry. Got to go to Japan, had the best time ever, and came back from Japan and started chemotherapy on the 13th of November. And I had my last round last Friday, so 18 weeks of chemo.
Woo! Incredible. Yeah, I think like it's, you're still going to start, you're still cheering, hands still up in the air. I think the thing about that is like, I think we'd have a pretty unique relationship, myself and yourself, Vicky. Really? It's probably based on, I don't know, absolutely slagging each other every time we see each other. Yeah. You give it just as good as you get it. But like, I think credit where credit's due. And just to mention that throughout that whole process, like what an inspiration you've been, not only to us as coaches, and like, trust me, you've done more than you could possibly know in terms of the way you carry yourself in the gym, how open you are to discuss these things, the inspiration for I does, but also to other members in the gym. Like you'd be amazed the amount of people that come up to us and say how inspiring you are and how motivated they are by speaking to you. I just think the way you've carried yourself throughout this process, and I know, you know, the road ahead might necessarily be finished yet, you know, this is another stepping stone, you're still moving forward and you're still going to have challenges ahead of you, but like, you're such a great ambassador for, you know, for somebody that's going through cancer, for all of your friends, for your support group. I think you just do such an amazing job of putting your best self out there, and I think the motivation, inspiration you give to a huge amount of people that you'll never truly understand, I think even people listening to this, you know, we're very grateful for what you do, and just show up and be yourself still throughout this process. So thank you.
Like, seriously, like, the gym, as I said, like, the last 5 years, like, it has helped change my life around, but the last like 6 months, it's been my savior. Like, it's the place when you get sick, like, the one thing you don't want to, well, for me, I can't speak for anyone else, is I just didn't want to look sick, I didn't want to feel sick, I didn't want people to look at me, and I didn't want any pity. Like, I can't cope with that. And I remember the first day I came in after I shaved my head, and I was a class with yourself and Rory, and I could see him waiting, like, just, you were kind of like lingering around me, and I had my hat on, my woolly hat on, and he wouldn't leave me, and
I don't know where this is going.
And I took off my hat, and like, within 4 seconds, it was, oh, hey, 11. Like, he'd been waiting days for this moment. Like, but that's what I just have adored over the last 6 months. Like, I haven't gotten one pity stare. I haven't gotten, like, I'm pretty sure Colin and Leck each week are like, sorry, you can lift heavier than that. And I'm like, no, I had chemo yesterday. And they're just not letting me, like, take it easy. But they also make sure that I don't faint and, like, pass out. But, yeah, like, the last 5 months, it's my place to move. And as long as I can move and lift weights and I'm healthy, that's how I feel.
In terms of Rory mentioned, you know, how inspirational you've been to everyone in the gym, and just to echo everything he said, who's someone that inspires you and why do they inspire you?
So this is kind of a tough one for me. I was thinking about it a long time, and then I realised the answer was right in front of me. My friends are my inspiration, and my friends, like I don't even say gym friends anymore, like the people in the gym, my friends from the gym, my friends from work, my friends from home, my friends I've just had, like, from throughout my whole life, everyone has just been unbelievable the last few months. And I know everyone kind of sees me putting on the bravado and like, everything's fine and, you know, cancer's fine, obviously there's bad days, but there's been days where like, I physically have not gone out of bed. Like, there's been a weeks that I was stuck to bed, and people that have gotten in touch and have just given me that motivation and pep talk. For example, I went out for dinner last night with some friends to celebrate finishing chemo, and I had an MRI on Monday just to check how the chemo has affected the tumour, and then I have to go back in next Wednesday and meet my surgeon, and they'll tell me when the surgery will happen and how the tumour has reacted and has it spread. And I'm not going to lie, I'm very apprehensive. Like, I feel like the weight of the world on my shoulders at the moment. And I came home from dinner last night and I think I was just exhausted after everything. I've kind of been busy this week. And I had a meltdown. I got into my bedroom. I just started roaring, crying. And good old Alison McKenna comes to the rescue again and just like, just talk me through it. And it's just like ebbs and flows. And just to have that support, and just so many people out there that probably don't have that level of support. And that's why I'm just trying to be like as open and honest about like my journey. But yeah, my friends are my inspiration.
I think that's great because you can draw on it every single day.
Mm.
In terms of like common trends from doing these podcasts, All the ones we've done so far, that's been one of the common trends that comes up with people over the questions, is when we ask most of the people in here who are the people that inspire them, most of them is people that are their family, their friends, maybe their parents, or whatever it might be. Most of the people that we've spoken to, that has been the case, where it's people close to home, and a wide variety of people inspire them for a host of different reasons. I think it's been quite common.
Yeah, for
the
sure.
Ones myself and Dara did there, and that was definitely something that came up the whole time.
And then we've stole this question from Tim Ferriss, and we're probably going over the sort of 15 minutes we have for these episodes, but I think this is certainly worth it. But we've asked the question of, over the last 5 years, what belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life? Now, that could be, you know, you've touched on so many things there that might be relevant, but is there anything outside of what you've mentioned already that's really had a big impact on your life over the last 5 years?
Yeah, this is one I was kind of thinking about for a while, and I just had to go with, I say, the last year. So, as I said, last January, I was kind of going to the gym 7 or 8 times. I went, started PN. I felt everything was really good. But I don't think I was looking after myself all that good at times. And for me, over the last year, I've really tried to work on my self-love and self-awareness. And just looking after yourself, like, especially over the last 6 months, I've come to realise you only have one body, you only have one mind. Be kind to that body and be kind to that mind, and do things that, like, bring you joy, even if it's the simplest little things. Myself and some of the girls, Courtney and your two sisters-in-laws, we started a swim group there last...
Oh, sisters-in-laws, they're my sisters.
Sisters, oh my God, I always get so confused. Sisters.
Yeah.
We started a swim club last March. We didn't start a swim club, sorry. We started going for a weekly swim out in Vico, or 40 foot, every Friday morning. And over the course of the last, we're coming up to our year now, it's grown to like a group of 12, 14 people every week. It's become my favourite time of the week. It's like a little mini therapy session. So like, just adding things that bring value and happiness to your life. And if there's something that you walk away from, or people or things that you walk away from, and you're like, oh God, that was draining, or, you know, oh, just not in the humour for that, walk away from it. Like, life is too short, and do what makes you happy. And I know it's probably really simple and really cliche, but that's something that I've just been really trying to, like, implement and live by over the last while.
That's something that's so important, is doing what makes you happy. Because I've seen that group of girls who, you know, you go swimming on Friday mornings at the minute, it's the current swim. What are you calling yourselves? It was the summer swim squad for a while. Is it the Sunrise Society, or am I cursing?
We've had a few names.
You're rebranding at the minute. Mentioned.
No, we have a branding. We have our brand guidelines. The Sunrise Society. So we even have like a WhatsApp group now. Yeah. And there's merch on the way, TBC.
Use this as a platform to sell your merch. But like, I've seen that with the group of people who do that. And it's not all girls. You know, guys are open, welcome. I get the weekly invite, but never...
Just Jack has come a few times, I have to
say. Fair play to Jack. You know, it's something that's so cool to see, just so many, like, you're all so different, but, like, you know, it's a group of people that you'd never really put together. It's completely open and welcome. People dip in and out, excuse the pun. But like, that brings you so much joy, and you're all hanging around outside Perch with Hannah and the guys in Perch having a coffee afterwards, and the smiles and beams on your face, freezing cold in the middle of January at 8 o'clock, it's still dark. You know, the joy that brings you and the way that sets you up for the weekend, for the day, with being around friends and people you care about, having that mini therapy session, talking to your friends, is something that we don't even Ruds get to do a whole lot of. We don't get to, as mates, sit down and have a chat outside of work that often. You know, like, we might play a game of golf every, I don't know when the last time we even played golf with you was, but we don't get time to do those things all that often. And I think they're so important. And that group of girls, I've really seen it in you guys, and the change in terms of, you know, psychologically, how you guys are way more open, and, you know, it just seems so fun loving when you're coming into the gym after those sessions to steal the hot water from the gym after you've frozen in the morning. But it's such a really cool thing to do, and I think it's something that, like Ruds talked about, people use their friends and family as inspiration. And I think it's very hard to get that time to yourself with your friends, with your family, and just spend that time together. So I think it's something that's really unique and should be admired.
And one other thing to touch on that you said that I think is really important for people, and again, it's a common trend from the podcasts that have gone on so far, is maybe the first evolution in someone's fitness journey might be coming in and learning how to work hard. So that's the first barrier, is like learning the discipline to consistently turn up to the gym and give effort. Doesn't necessarily have to be the best of all time, but just consistently turn up, move, give effort. And that takes a certain amount of discipline. And then maybe the next evolution then is maybe challenging themselves. And they, but then that'll get you so far. So like working hard, as you mentioned, doing 7-8 classes a week. But there's a diminishing return at that point, and then learning to be more understanding of your body's energy and do things that help you to recover outside of training hard, but then also being more reflective in terms of your mental health as well as your physical health. Then there's the nutrition, so like learning to understand not just the types of food you're eating, but how you're actually eating it. So like slowing down, eating more mindfully. And you said you learned a lot of that through working through with Dara online with them. We use Precision Nutrition to deliver our FS nutrition coaching. But I think that stuff's really important because it's something that's been said by other people, but understanding that it isn't, you know, doing 6 or 7 classes a week will get you so far, but mm-hmm. that's not the pinnacle. That's just another step in someone's journey. The next step in my mind is becoming more well-rounded and more balanced in the other areas of your life that we discussed mm-hmm. earlier, so it doesn't take away from the 6 or 7 sessions you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
The reason being is we know from a training perspective that stress plus recovery equals adaptation. So the training is the stress. So by stressing your body, you give your body a reason to change and get stronger, get fitter, get faster. But then if you don't give the body time to recover, if you don't give the mind time to recover, then you probably don't get all the adaptation. You don't get all the benefits out of all the hard work you're doing. So I just wanted to kind of touch on that and bring that home to people, because I think a lot of people might be at that stage in their journey where they're doing a lot of training and they're training really hard, but they don't necessarily feel like the best version of themselves yet. And it's probably because they need to look at some of those other things that are outside of the gym to help them to get the most out of the training.
And I think that they're more wholesome activities, for lack of a better term. Yeah. Whereas like I would have gone through periods a lot where I've been playing rugby and, you know, training really, really hard. And that sort of release that you get in terms of that recovery, that mental recovery, was going on the piss.
Yeah.
And like it isn't like Rod Stock talk, become the strongest version of yourself. It's important to have a release and to do these things and to be around friends, but to do that in a more wholesome way that's probably more in line with your goals. There are other ways to do that. So I think it's important to, you know, how you look to tie all those things in together. Because for a lot of people, they just think a release from when I've gone through a really, you know, intense period of training is, it doesn't have to be necessarily going out in the beer for the weekend.
No.
You can do other things and socialize in different ways. Mm. I think that's a really, you know, it's a really good way to tie it all together.
We could probably sit and chat all day to you, Vicky.
I don't know about that, but
but just to kind of maybe start to look to finish this up,
mm-hmm.
What's next for you, and what are the goals you're currently working towards?
For me, I think the biggest goal at the moment is just to get my life back and my body back. So the last 20 weeks, I've had 8 rounds of chemo, which have been intense. I have the month of March to recover and try and do 3 classes a day and get ready for my operation. The operation will probably be like early April, mid-April, and it's going to be quite big. Like it's called a bilateral double mastectomy and reconstruction. So it'll be 6 to 8 week recovery on the first operation, and then there's a potential... there's a second operation then in the works as well. So yeah, my goal at the moment is just to keep moving, keep coming in when I can, and Lions 2021 next year.
But there's something else huge in the middle of all that, which this episode's probably going to just before.
Oh yes.
Yeah, the huge event you're organising.
Best event in Dublin.
Yeah, yeah. The Dash and Dip. Dash Leah and Dip. Leah was our first guest on this
good
episode.
Woman,
she
good
was
luck.
She my sister-in-law. So she was talking, you know, all about this, and just for people who are listening, because I've heard a lot of people in the gym talk about this, and you know, it's not an exclusive to gym members thing. There's going to be loads of your friends who've got nothing to do with the gym.
Yeah.
Your colleagues are coming
mm-hmm.
by. You know, there's people like, you know, parents are getting involved. It's going to
yeah.
be an amazing event. But I just to kind of give a little idea of this, I know there's a member of the gym, I won't name him,
go on,
but Richie, but he was in the gym the other day.
Which Richie now?
There's a lot of Richies. There's the one Richie we're talking about, who basically
Richie.
Has lovely Richie. They're all lovely Richies. he basically came up to you in the gym and he's like, I'm absolutely knackered, like, you know, goosed, his legs are wrecked.
Oh,
and
you're,
and you're like, why are your legs wrecked? Because I'm getting ready for your run. Like, you know, he ended up running 20K trying to prep for prep for the dash and dip. But the amount of people, honestly, you've said it to me, even upstairs in the staff room, in our gym, I'm trying to get my running up to get ready for this dash and
it's
dip.
A lot of pressure.
It's become a race. I don't know if you meant that, but like, people are taking this, you know. But the thing about that for me is, what's really important about that is, people want to show up and represent the best version of themselves at this. Mm. They want to show up, and they're like, I've seen people taking this a little more seriously than going doing like a 5K race or a 10K race, because that's out of respect for you, and, you know, possibly respect for the culture at the gym and how you know, you're inspiring people. We're all trying to help you and be a sport environment. People want to show up and put the best version of themselves on display. They want to run, they want to have fun, and they want to be able to do this. So when they get to the finish line, you know, they're not absolutely goosed and they can smile and we can all have a swim together and have a lot of fun. But I think, like, the event, what's the date of the event?
So it's the 22nd of March. It's Sunday and it's going to start
Mothering Sunday.
Mm. But it's early, so you can come and do this first. So at the moment I've got, like, I think 105, 110 people signed up for the run. I've got people then baking gorgeous treats. Starbucks are kindly donating coffee. Perch, I know, are going to be giving us some yummy tasty food. The guys down in the sauna are going to be open their sauna doors between 10 and 11 down in the 40-foot for donations. So the run will be kicking off from FFS. It's a 12-kilometre run along the coast road to the 40-foot. I'll be going out in the first group because I did my first 3K yesterday and 12K is going to be some feat. And then the quicker guys like yourself and Richie can leave last, and then everyone will hopefully meet at the 40-foot for 10 a.m. and we'll all get to jump in the water, have some coffee, take 10 minutes to get off our phones and just to enjoy each other's company and, yeah, celebrate the end of chemo. So that was...
And we're doing this to raise money?
Raise money, yes.
You said donations. They're not for Vicky.
They're These not donations for me, unfortunately. Are for... I'm not going to the ski trip tomorrow. It's all going to be donated to the Irish Cancer Society and the target is €10,000 and currently we are just at 6,000 and we still have 2 weeks to go. So... And there's a lot of people that are registered for the run that haven't donated yet. So
we're watching you guys. Where can people donate, Vicky? Where's the best place?
So the best place to donate is, the link is on my Instagram profile. I'm sure we can add it into the notes of this podcast. And I'll maybe see if Brian can put it up on the FFS stories as well.
We'll be pushing it out there big time just before it. But, you know, Irish Cancer Society, I think one thing when we spoke about this, trying to plan around the event, was you've been quite vocal even on the episode about, you know, the support you've had here. I think it's very important to mention the support that the Irish Cancer Society provides for people who, you know, mightn't be in a position that you're in, where you've got so many good friends and good people around you. You know, they do an awful lot of really good work, as well as treatment and all those things, about providing support structures for people. And, like, we're big fans of the Irish Cancer Society. We've done a Stand Up to Cancer event where, you know, we've raised a lot of money, and I think it's great that we can be involved in this with you, because they are an amazing charity and they do a lot of good work. So make sure we get the wallets out. The Fod Sail Sauna guys, like you said, they're going to be opening the door for donations. So, you know, let's be generous on this one and let's kind of help you raise as much money as possible.
And have a great day.
Absolutely. Yeah. Most important thing. Vicky, thank you so much for coming in. That was, like you said, we've gone over the 20 minutes, but wow, an awesome episode. We loved having you in, and we'll hopefully touch base again on the line after the event. We'll get some stuff to add into the show notes again. Yeah.
Thanks, Ian.
Cheers, Vicky. Bye-bye.
Bye.